Okay. Greetings. Greetings, strangers. I am Brit.
Is that supposed to be like your Dracula voice?
I mean, we're getting close to Halloween, so maybe. We got how many?
It's almost spooky season. They done put out the Count Chocula and everything. Yeah.
Halloween
What's
candy.
The other one? Booberry? Frankenberry?
Maybe. I don't keep up with cereals, to be honest, because it's too tempting. I'm a sugar addict. Hi, my name is Britt, and I'm addicted to sugar. So, yeah, I can't. But that I also saw the fall fat cakes, too. So I was like,
yeah, I saw those, too. And I'm D.
Oh, yeah. I am somebody. You are somebody. Like, they already off topic. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to another episode of
It's a Strange World After All,
the podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and all of the things that keep the world strange. Look.
Oh, man.
And I'm scared to take it now because my dreams have been... Oh, so I just showed her valerian root. I was figuring y'all can't see. But I'm scared to take it because of the dreams that I've been having lately. And I'm just like, oh.
I mean, you already have
know,
it.
No, man.
You got it already.
Yeah.
And then it's going to take a few nights. Well, for me, it took a few nights for me to even start having dreams. So
yeah. It said good. That online. It also said, and I'm not, you know, putting you on blast or nothing, just it said that valerian root isn't the cause of those types of dreams. Like, nightmares or night terrors, it is, they cautioned that if you struggle with those already, that it would just be like a heightened experience. Yeah. So like, if I already, oh, okay.
Yeah, but
so you admit that you were already.
No, I wasn't having those kind of dreams.
Oh.
Yeah. Because actually, when I was taking it, I hadn't had dreams in a while, so.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
But I think that's because you weren't, your sleeping patterns were off, so you weren't in, like, your REM sleep. Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
But yeah, I don't typically have, like, nightmares like that. Like, I may have some weird kind of dreams or whatever, but not scary. So good luck.
Thanks. I'll report back. They probably like, finally, a year later, yes, I finally got valerian root.
And you got a lot.
I will report back. I got two bottles. It was like 2 for $12 or something. I mean, it was like a good deal. So I was, you know, can't pass up a sale.
I mean, well, true.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready. I want all the smokes.
You say that now. In today's episode, we discuss Dean Corll, also known as the Candyman.
I was about to say, not to be confused with
the Candyman.
The Candyman. The one with the bees on his face.
Yeah. This one is white. So. Here we
this
go.
One was an actual, I was like, you could have came up with it. This one was an actual candy man.
Oh, yeah, he was technically. Well, no, not technically. Yes. He was. Dean was an American serial killer who, with the help of two teenage accomplices, kidnapped, raped, tortured, and murdered several young men in Houston and Pasadena, Texas in the early 1970s.
Who can take a sunrise, fill it up with sun? I don't know the words. The candy man can, because he mixes it with love. Wait, and makes the world taste good.
I have been trying to think of that song for hours. Because I was like, when I saw that you put the notes, I was like, oh, what is the song? And I could not think of it.
Yeah.
So thank you.
You're welcome. Such a sunny song. Such a sunny disposition to be called the Candyman. So it's just a little ironic.
Yeah.
Dean Arnold Coral was born on December 24th, 1939 in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dean was a shy, serious child who rarely socialized with other children. In 1946, his parents divorced and his mother, Mary, sold the family home and moved Dean and his siblings to Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis!
We need to go back.
We do need to go back. We had a good time. Did a ghost tour.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. Talk about that on another episode because it's a lot. We got a lot that we got to go through. His parents attempted to reconcile and remarried in 1950. The family moved to Pasadena, Texas, but the couple divorced again in 1953. And I just remembered, or it just hit me that they were in Texas. So here's another Texas one.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've had a couple.
Yeah.
Here lately, we've had a couple. Yeah.
Yeah, the last episode.
I don't know if this going to be the, oh, well, if this is the only one we do.
Oh,
never mind.
My bad.
No, that's fine. You're right. Because if this ends up being the only one we record, where is Pasadena?
I don't know where Pasadena is. I'm thinking it's closer to Houston.
Oh, yes. I think it is not that far from Houston. We could have looked it up. My mom, she said, do y'all look anything up? I said, whoa. Yes, we look stuff up for the show, but when you're in the midst of conversation and things come up, that's not something that we thought about.
So. Yeah.
The shade.
I know. We're doing the best we can.
We're just two starving artists trying to make a living.
After the second divorce, Mary married a traveling clock salesman named Jake West. The family moved to Vidor, Texas, and started a small candy company from the garage of their home. I was just going to say, when you think of racists and Texas, the top two cities I would think would be Vidor and Jasper. Because I've heard some things about Vidor. It was a guy on TikTok, and it was a white guy, advice to Black people traveling through Vidor, and he was like, don't.
Really?
Yeah, because he was like, it's so small that people only really stop there to get gas, but he was like, if you can avoid it, don't
come. I was going to say,
don't stop there for
gas. I don't know that I've ever heard of Vidor, but I want to say, maybe we were in Jasper when one of my friends experienced like racism for like the first time because she wasn't Black, but she was with a Black dude and they weren't even like together, but they were going to use the restroom. And this was like on Martin Luther King Day too, because we were in the middle of a march. Yeah. No, I mean, again, it's not like ha-ha funny, but it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
But I just remember she said she had never felt people look at her like that before. And when they were coming out, he grabbed her hand. And I said, oh, Lord. And she was like, it was worse. And she said somebody was like, she should be ashamed of herself, or like her, what would her family think? And I was like, what the hell?
What?
And this was like 2013.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Jasper is pretty.
Yeah.
Because that's where the whole James Byrd Jr. thing happened.
Oh.
Yeah, because I studied that in my criminal justice class in high school. Do you know what that is?
Have you heard of that? I was looking it up.
That's where they dragged him on the back of the truck.
Yes. Yeah.
How do we always get into like racist stuff?
Because We don't fall into racism. Racism falls into us. First of all,
I just saw Vider, Texas, and I was like, yeah. So if you're Black in Texas, don't go to Vider or Jasper. Dean graduated from Vider High School in the summer of 1958, and he and his family moved to Houston. In 1960, Dean moved to Indiana to live with his grandmother. After living there for 2 years, he moved back to Houston to help with the candy business. I just keep wanting to call him Dean Winchester because I was watching Supernatural
earlier. That's automatically what you think about, though, when you hear the name Dean. And I think it's funny that, what's his name? Jared Pulaski? Or how you say his last name?
Padalecki,
that his name was Dean in Gilmore Girls. I think it's kind of funny.
I never got into Gilmore Girls. I didn't even know he was in Gilmore
Girls. Yes, he was Rory's first love. Dean's mother divorced Jake in 1963 and opened a new candy business named Coral Candy Company. Say that 3 times fast. Coral Candy Company, Coral Candy Company, Coral Candy. It wasn't that hard till the end. You want to try? All right.
No, I can barely talk anyway.
That same year, one of the teenage male employees complained to Mary that Dean made sexual advances toward him. In response, Mary fired the teen.
Mother Mary.
Mother Mary.
What are you doing?
Yep, that's how all companies should handle sexual harassment allegations. Just fire people, you know? That way you don't have to deal. You don't have to deal with it. Like, you know what we can do for you? Let you go.
That's sad, though, because that's a red flag.
Yeah.
Like, clearly, this is a kid.
Yeah.
So, okay, Mary.
Yeah, why would he make this up? In, like, the 60s, I don't think that was a thing for people to make those allegations.
Yeah.
Especially because I, as a teenage boy, would feel embarrassed by it.
Well, yeah, you know, it was the 60s, so... On August 10th, 1964, Dean was drafted into the U.S. Army. He served for 10 months and applied for a hardship discharge on the grounds that he was needed in his family's business. During this time in the Army, he realized that he was a homosexual and had experienced his first homosexual encounters. I think he realized it before that, but okay.
I think so, too, because, I mean, he had already been accused of making sexual advances toward a teenage boy, so...
Yeah.
Dean returned to Houston and resumed his position as vice president of the Coral Candy Company. Dean was known to give free candy to local children, in particular, teenage boys. This earned him the nickname the Candyman and the Pied Piper.
Mm.
The candy company seemed to attract several teenage boys, both as employees and as customers. Dean was said to be openly flirtatious and befriended many of them. So he was a little slut. Lucky.
Pretty much.
I just feel like anytime someone adopts the name the Pied Piper, like another red flag. Like that should be no, first of all.
It's crazy because people are just now putting that together. And for even me, I was like, We really let him call himself the Pied Piper. I'm talking about R. Kelly now.
I think you were talking about K. Riley.
Oh. But And people never, we never paid any attention to it. I don't know about you, but I didn't.
Not at the time. Yeah, I was like, I didn't really until the Boondocks episode.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, yeah. Yeah, because also we were pretty young going, like, when it was first happening. So,
yeah.
But yeah, and in the case of this, it's just weird. So people were really okay with, it was just weird. Like, oh, he's attracting. Because I'm sure it was them thinking, oh, he's attracting all these kids, but primarily little boys. Let's call him the Pied Piper. What?
That is questionable. Ridiculous. Yes. In 1967, Dean befriended 12-year-old David Brooks. For 2 years, Dean groomed David and steadily built his trust. By the time David was 14, Dean was regularly sexually abusing David and bribing him with gifts and money for his silence.
What's sad about this is that David's parents probably never even thought that anything inappropriate or malicious was going on with their relationship. They probably saw Dean as sort of a mentor to these boys. So
yeah. And that's how much things have changed, because back then a lot of stuff was going on that if it was happening today, you'd be like, okay, stranger danger. How many times were we told not to take candy from strangers? That's literally strangers. Don't take candy from strangers.
I mean, in his defense, he's the candy man. But yes, to accept. Yeah, because he was accepting free candy. Well, not free, it came at a cost, but yeah, he was bribing him with gifts and money. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
And then too, they're not really thinking about it because they're working there. So they're providing for their families. They're helping their families out. So they're not even, they're like, oh, they're just going to work. It's nothing going on.
Do I want to say this? This is about the unpopular opinion.
Uh-oh.
So basically, it was like a Michael Jackson shit sitch.
No, I don't think so. I think they might have thought it was just him going to work. These boys were working for the candy company. So they're just sending their sons to work. They don't think anything else is happening because they're not saying anything.
This is before child labor laws, I guess. Yeah. Okay. It's like a 12? But yeah, I got you.
I would be questioning if they didn't work there. I would be questioning why they're there anyway, just because
the candy good. It's candy. No, I was being serious. That wasn't that sounded like a double entendre. But no, it was literally. Or yeah, like I don't know. But I wouldn't put it past them if they didn't work there, but they saw this guy who was pretty successful and was thinking, "Oh, he's a good role model for them. So yeah, you can hang out with him." That's what I thought it was.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a simpler time.
Yeah, this reminds me of kind of because it was so out in the open of Abducted in Plain Sight.
Oh yeah, yes.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
For you to be so trusting of someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all know how that, man.
I said, so he was just boofing everybody? What?
Everybody.
Everybody. In September of 1970, Dean killed his first known victim, Jeffrey Conan. Jeffrey was an 18-year-old student who was hitchhiking from Austin to Houston to get to his girlfriend's house. Dean offered him a ride, and that was the last time he was seen.
A few months later, in December, Dean abducted two more teenage boys and tied them to his bed. David walked in on Dean assaulting the boys. He told David that he was part of a gay pornography ring and had sent the boys to California. So that was just his, basically his explanation as to why they were there and why they weren't there all of a sudden.
Right.
I don't think that that would be a lie that I would make up, because that's a gay pornography ring. You could have came up with something better than that.
How do you, what would you have said? How do you explain that situation, though?
You can't. But, well, he was young, so he probably, I don't know, easily convinced. Yeah. He was young and he had already groomed him, so yeah.
Yeah.
But later he confessed to David that he had killed them. Dean bought him a Corvette for his silence. He also offered him $200 for any boys he could bring to him, and David agreed.
He's like Macaulay Culkin in this season of American Horror Story. If you don't get that reference, watch American Horror Story.
The on Hulu, American Horror Stories, or?
No, the new AHS, the new season of American Horror Story. It's out.
That's already out?
Yeah,
girl, they been?
They're on
What's
like
the
fifth.
What's the name of it?
Don't give me the lie. It's it's American Horror Story double feature.
Okay. I knew about it, but I did not know it was out yet.
Yes, Macaulay Culkin is in it. It's wonderful. He's wonderful.
I might start it. No, I'm finna go to bed after we get done. So I might start it tomorrow.
One of those boys was Elmer Wayne Henley. For some reason, Dean decided not to kill him. Instead, he groomed Elmer the same way he did David. He even told him the same story about the pornography ring before telling him the truth and offering him money to help find more victims. Elmer insisted that he refused the offer at first, but his family's financial situation led him to accept it. I had initially just made the note, like, I wonder what it was about Elmer and David that made Dean feel like he could trust them. But obviously, their family financial status seems to play a big role.
Yeah. And then I even read that he didn't even give Elmer as much money that he promised him. So he would give him not even half of what he promised him.
Really?
But he really, his family really needed the money, so.
That's sad.
Yeah. In the early 1970s, David and Elmer would help Dean, the Candyman Coral, by luring boys and young men ranging in age from 13 to 20. The three of them would take the boys to Dean's home where they were bound and gagged. Each victim would be tied to a wooden torture board where the three would torture and rape them. Afterward, some victims were strangled to death and others were shot. Dean forced the victims to write postcards to their families saying that they were okay before he murdered them. That is sad.
That is sad.
And then I wonder what it looked like, because I picture, what is those things called? Like back in like the Salem witch trials where they had the board where they would put their head and in their hands and the, what are those called? You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh. I don't know what it
but
is called.
I don't
called,
think it's
though.
Like that, but something like that.
Something similar. Yeah. On the evening of August 7th, 1973, Elmer Henley, who was 17 at the time, invited 19-year-old Timothy Curley to attend a party at Dean's house in Pasadena, Texas. David Brooks was not there. Timothy was an acquaintance of Dean's and was intended to be his next victim. When they arrived at Dean's house, the two sniffed paint fumes and drank alcohol until midnight before leaving to go and get some sandwiches.
I didn't think people actually did that, like
sniff paint fumes.
Yeah.
My mom said they used to, so I'm about to say this all wrong. So when they print, apparently, like when you printed back then, the ink was still, it was different, like it was fresh or something. So you could sniff the papers in school when they printed them. I think told me that, or I could be lying. I could have seen that in like in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That could be like a false memory, but they used to do that. I know that.
Okay. Elmer and Timothy then drove to Houston Heights and parked close to Elmer's home. He got out of the car and heard a commotion coming from the home of his 15-year-old friend Rhonda's house. She had been beaten by her father and accepted Elmer's invitation to join him and Timothy at Dean's house.
They got to the house at approximately 3 a.m. on August 8th. Dean was furious that Elmer had brought a girl to his house, telling him that he had ruined everything. Dean finally calmed down and offered the teens beer and weed. 2 hours later, all three teens passed out. I don't know if this is just the 70s, but did teens not have curfew? Like, why? Or did she just run away from home? Because why are you out?
She ran away.
I get, well, for everybody. Well, I guess 17. 17 and 19 is.
Yeah. But then, back then, it was less strict.
3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
I mean, it was the 70s. They was white. Yeah. You know.
I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah. And maybe they had arranged, like, you know, sleepover plans. Like, oh, I'm going to stay at Elmer's. And
maybe.
Okay. That's just.
Yeah, because the girl, she just left because her dad beat her. So she just left.
Right.
The other two, I don't know. Yeah. Elmer awoke to find himself lying on his stomach and Dean putting handcuffs on his wrists. His mouth had been taped shut and his ankles were bound together. Rhonda and Timothy lay beside him, bound and gagged, face down on the floor. Dean removed the tape from Elmer's mouth and started yelling, saying he was going to kill all three of them.
This my thing. I would never have trusted him. I don't know you, sir. You telling me you confided in me about what you were doing, but he is a murderer. You know that he is a rapist and a murderer and a kidnapper. I don't care how much you paying me. I would not sleep a wink. I might hang out with you if I'm that type of person and accept the funds from you, but I don't trust you as far as I can throw you.
I mean, he was groomed, so that plays a part in there. But they were passed out. They were smoking weed, sniffing paint, drinking. So they passed out. It wasn't like they went over there and went to sleep on purpose.
I'd not even be doing drugs around. I'm looking at you. You looking at me. I'm looking at you. You looking at me. Because I refuse. I don't trust you.
Yeah, but again, we don't know what it's like to be groomed.
That's true.
So we don't know what was going on in his mind. You know, just got to keep that.
Sleep with one eye open. Elmer calmed him down by promising to participate in the torture and murder of Rhonda and Timothy. Dean agrees and untied them. Elmer began to cut off Timothy's clothes as Dean started to undress and assault Timothy. Rhonda woke up and begged Elmer to help them.
That's when Elmer grabbed Dean's pistol and said, "I can't let you kill all my friends." Dean approached him saying, "Kill me. I know you won't do it." Elmer fired at Dean, hitting him in the forehead. The bullet didn't fully penetrate his skull and he lunged towards Elmer. Can you imagine shooting somebody in the head and then they're just still running towards you?
That's because crazy people don't die. It take a while.
They really do.
They got crackhead strength, crazy people strength. I don't know. I cannot imagine.
Man, Elmer fired two more shots, hitting Dean in the left shoulder. Dean ran out of the room, hitting the wall in the hallway.
So he still didn't die.
No.
Oh, Lord.
But he was trying to run, though. I guess he was like, okay, it's getting real. I done already got shot in the head.
It's too much.
It is intense.
Elmer fired three more shots into his lower back and shoulder as Dean finally slid down the wall and died.
I saw the crime scene photo. It didn't look like he was shot that many times, though. It wasn't. I was expecting it to be a lot of blood, but it really wasn't.
Where did he fall? Did he fall on his stomach or did he fall on his back?
He was like on his side.
Oh. Maybe that's why.
More like on his, kind of on his stomach, but you know, I can't explain it. But he wasn't on his back because he was.
Right.
Yeah, you can see the picture on Wikipedia.
And what kind of gun was this that didn't fully penetrate? I guess there are a lot of factors.
Yeah. But this whole thing is just intense because I didn't even want to see the picture because I was like, why is this on Wikipedia, first of all? And because he was naked.
Oh.
Yeah, because he shot him while he was about to rape Timothy.
Right.
So he was, all of them, I think all of them were naked.
Oh, yeah, because he removed all of their clothes.
And
tied them up.
But it didn't look like he had any gunshot wounds on his back, though.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of gun it was. Also, how far he was standing from him. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
What was the trajectory and all of that?
Because that's about six shots?
Shoot. One in the head.
One in the forehead.
Two in the
shoulder. And then he fired three more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, six.
Yeah.
Man.
I said it. Crazy people don't die. I mean, he did ultimately die, but you know, it takes a while.
Yeah. Adrenaline, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Because I'm still stuck on him getting shot in the forehead.
Well, yeah.
Because it didn't fully penetrate. So I'm thinking it had to be like a 22 or something like that.
Oh, the 22s. That's what the 22s. That's what that made me think of. I don't know nothing about no guns. So I'm just, sure, 22. I know pellet guns and. Okay. After killing Dean, Elmer released Rhonda and Timothy from the torture board, and they all got dressed and discussed what they should do next. Call the police! Not unless they were still under the effects of drugs. There should be no question. Oh. Call the police!
Yeah.
At 8:24 a.m., Elmer called the Pasadena police saying, y'all better come here right now. I just killed a man. There I was just looking at some stuff earlier and found a clip of Elmer talking to his mom on the phone.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
that was crazy because he was just like, mama. He was like, what did he say? I killed Dean. Oh, no. It was just funny, but it was so matter of fact. And she was just like, oh, no. Like,
yeah, he was pretty calm about it.
Maybe he was
even in the. Yeah, because even in the 911 call, like, I don't think I heard it, but I just picture it being like real calm. Like, y'all better come over. I just killed him.
I just killed him. He was probably desensitized to it.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah. And I'm not going to promise that I could find a clip, especially I ain't gonna give it away what day it is, but I mean, if I could find the clip, I put, you know, put it in. But
yeah,
you guys should find the clip either way, because it was pretty. Oh well, I take that back. Either way, it'll either make the episode or I can just put it in the details. So
yeah, I saw it in a documentary, because it was a documentary about him and John Wayne Gacy.
Oh,
because it was like the Candyman and the Clown or something like that.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm gonna have to look that up, because I don't know if that's the one I saw. Because the one I found was really short, and I don't think it was that one though.
Oh yeah, this one was like an hour and a half. Once in custody, Elmer told the officers everything. And the next morning, he gave a full written statement detailing his and David's involvement in the murders. I completely forgot about David. because he wasn't there for any of that. Because by that time, he was married.
Oh.
But he was still participating in all the murders. He just wasn't there that night. He was probably with his wife.
Interesting. Yeah, that was another thing I was thinking about, their sexual orientation. If Elmer or David even felt like they were homosexual, because I'm pretty sure there has to be some of the people that they kidnapped and attacked. They couldn't have been all gay, you know what I mean, or all homosexual. Yeah. So I just wondered what their sexual orientation was, especially because they were involved in this.
Yeah, that's a good question, because I mean, David got married to a woman. Yeah. So, and he was, I don't know how old Elmer was when Dean started grooming him, but David was 12.
Right.
So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And in my mind, I had them backwards. I wonder how old Elmer was.
He had to have been, because when this happened, he was 19. So he had to have been maybe 15, 16.
Because this happened over the course of 2 or 3 years.
It started in 1970. So 3 years. 3 years.
Yeah, yes, yeah, 3 years.
Yeah. Later that evening, David Brooks gave a full confession, but he denied participating in the murders. All three of them are known to have killed a minimum of 28 teenagers and young men between September 1970 and August 1973, although the number of victims could be higher. That is a lot.
That is a lot within that short amount of time, because, I mean, 3 years, it is a long time, I guess, but you're talking about killing people and getting away with it for so long.
Yeah.
Because who knows if that didn't happen. Sorry, who knows how long it would have lasted if.
Oh, yeah.
That if didn't he would have
killed him, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, because this was a lot. So if you want to like learn more about it, I would see if you could find documentaries about it, because two of the boys were brothers and one of them was abducted. And then like a year or two later, he got the other brother.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, this whole case is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. If I can, once I figure out the name of the documentary, I'll put it in the sources.
Okay, that works. Elmer Henley and David Brooks were tried separately for their roles in the murders. Elmer was brought to trial in San Antonio on July 1st, 1974, and charged with 6 of the murders. Throughout the trial, the state introduced 82 pieces of evidence, including Dean's torture board. So you think there's a picture out there?
It may be.
Maybe.
We could try to look it up, because I didn't even think to Google it.
I didn't think about it because I didn't think about it being a part of the evidence. Like, I forgot that it was a part of the evidence, so I didn't think about that either, but I'm going to look that up and either use it or put a link. Yeah.
The jury deliberated for 92 minutes before finding Elmer Henley guilty for all six murders. He was sentenced to six consecutive life sentences totaling 594 years.
Jeez.
Elmer, yeah, which he deserves.
I mean, yeah.
He deserved it. He deserved it. Because I was like, I don't know how I feel about it because he was groomed, but he was still old enough to know right is right and wrong is wrong. So
yeah, when it comes to participating in murder and you're not a child, like if it would have been that he was four or, you know what I mean? Like if you started at such a young age to where you really do not understand that this is, like you don't understand the difference between right and wrong when it comes to that. But
yeah. That's why I was like, kind of like with David, I feel bad for him because he was 12.
Yeah.
The murder started, of course he was older, but he was being groomed at 12.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have more sympathy towards him than Elmer.
Elmer. Stupid name.
I know.
I just keep seeing Elmer Fudd's face.
I know.
Childish.
Elmer appealed his sentence and conviction, and his retrial began on June 18th, 1979. The retrial lasted 9 days, and he was found guilty and was again sentenced to six concurrent 99-year terms. 594 years.
Whew. David Brooks was brought to trial on February 27th, 1975, and was only charged with one of the murders. David's trial lasted less than a week, and the jury deliberated for 90 minutes. He was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison. David also appealed his sentence, but his appeal was dismissed.
Why was he only charged with one? So maybe they did have, or they just didn't have enough evidence against him.
Oh, maybe.
But I don't know. I don't know. Honestly.
Because, yeah, what warranted Elmer being charged with six of the murders? I guess evidence. I don't know. Versus. Yeah. Let me shut up. But either way, they spend a life in prison, so I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Elmer Henley is currently serving his sentence and will be eligible for parole in October 2025. David Brooks died of COVID-related complications at a Galveston hospital on May 28th, 2020, at the age of 65. So, what are your thoughts on everything, all of this?
I don't know. I feel like it's a sad situation, especially for the young men involved. I do slightly feel bad for Elmer and David. Yes, both Elmer and David, because they may have felt like they owed this to him or felt some sort of sick loyalty to him, and now their life is just over. But then so are these 28 men who didn't ask for this, who probably weren't even into the things that they were into and lost their lives. And it's just I don't know man.
So question, do you think that this could have possibly been avoided if his mom would have done something when the first teenager accused him at the and she fired him, if she would have gotten him help?
I would love to say yes, but I'm probably not, because I think of cases like Anthony Soyle and how he did actually go to prison for a sexual assault charge. Like, she reported it. They believed her. He went through trial. He went to jail, came out, and ended up.
Did it again. Yeah.
Yeah. And did it worse because he ended up killing those women. So.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Mm. Yeah, well, then. Yeah, I don't think so either. Because it's so much you can get into about, like, if he would have gotten help, because I don't know. I just want to say it could have been avoided, but I don't think it could have.
No, I don't. Maybe in an alternate universe. I don't know. Maybe this never happened, but nah, I don't.
I feel like she should have at least tried, because that's not normal. You shouldn't be making advances towards kids.
No, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't be making advances towards kids. You also shouldn't be overly flirtatious with kids. And I'm wondering who was around when this sort of thing was happening.
Yeah. Again, you will never know.
No, not unless we come up with like a, what if we were like, not Ghostbusters, but just like, I don't know. Like, you know, like Timeline Busters, and then we get to go, we travel through time, and then we get to go see like these people when they're younger and see like, aha, this is the moment that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because there were so many red flags, but they were ignored.
A couple of them. Yep.
Yeah.
That's all, folks.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, keep up with us on Instagram for those hashtag Myth Mondays and hashtag Strange Saturdays posts.
Yes, we would love, love, love to hear from you. Tell us what you think about this case, or any of the cases we've done so far. Also, if there is anything in the world of strange, any cases, superstitions, legends, myths, I don't know, I couldn't think that you would like for us to cover, let us know. Even if it's something for Myth Mondays or Strange Saturdays, yeah. Like if it is like a quick tidbit, let us know.
I would love to get suggestions for conspiracy theories, because for whatever reason, having a hard time finding good ones.
Yeah. And I was thinking that too the other day. And it's like on YouTube, you can find those videos with like you can go all day and watch different conspiracy theory videos, but to find the different conspiracy theories online is a little difficult. I agree.
Yeah.
We should publish a conspiracy theory book.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
Something to think about.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of It's a Strange World After All.
And then I'll keep y'all posted on my Valerian root journey. I don't know if I'm going to take it.
Please do.
I will. I guess I'll take it.
Yeah, you already paid for it.
I did, but I can always return it. It's still in the packaging. But I'm not going to be scared. I ain't never. And thank you, as always, for keeping it strange with us. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.